Holiday all over Hamilton. Iguodala in the open floor.
Now, see, that's a perfect example of what we're going to see as this game moves on. That was a four on a one on the break. Just overpowered them in the open floor.
Next man up. Get the job done. Just go out there and do your job. That's all we have to do.
Gibson scored the last six to make it a six-point game. And he's young. Tough shot.
Oh,
Gibson.
My. Now, Gibson, he couldn't believe that Young made that shot.
Holiday all over Hamilton. Good ball movement by the Bulls. And a dang three is down.
That's what they need.
Defensively, we got to tie ourselves together. Yes. We're all spread out. Early love, continuous talk. Trust the talk. Trust the coverage. Get into the ball. Where's our fight?
Only by four. Holiday feeling it. Got them all. Hot up Chicago. Boozer lost it, though, out of bounds.
That's right. It was good by design, but he just lost the ball. There was no deflection. He just lost control as he put it down with his left hand.
Korver comes to get it. He'll lean into a three. It's an air ball. And the Bulls are going back to Chicago, down 3-1 in the best of seven. Philadelphia, which has not won a playoff series since 2003. One win from the second round.
You're listening to Mayhem with Zach Roach, Mike Netzel, Claire Plant, and Kasimu Godfrey.
And you're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. We are on today from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. We have a big-time show for you today. Of course, we're going to talk about the Bulls' woes in the playoffs, all the injuries, all the people getting hurt. Also, the Cubs and White Sox going in opposite direction. The Cubs have seemed to found their little groove. Jeff Samardzija look good. The White Sox struggling, of course. Also, other big news, and I got a distinguished panel with me today. I got Mr. Mike Netzel. How you doing, Netzel?
I'm doing pretty good, Roach. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing excellent. We got Mr. Kasimu Godfrey. How you doing, Godfrey?
Yo, I'm in this. I'm good.
We got an update, lady. She went to Mark Kate. Her name is Claire Plain. How you doing, Claire?
I'm good.
And we got our super, super duper producer, Aaron Van Waldy.
Yeah!
Oh, somebody's fired up.
I know, right? Crazy.
Because the Cubs won last night. Why wouldn't he be happy?
No,
why wouldn't he be happy?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, no, baseball later, guys.
He still looks better.
Really?
Because
the Cubs seem to be the only positive note in Chicago sports right now.
Yeah.
How cursed are we this year? We haven't talked about this yet. You guys talked about it last week. I wasn't here. But first you lose Jay Cutler after the Bears are 7-3 and looking like they're marching to the playoffs, looking like they're ready to go 5-game winning streak. Then the Blackhawks lose Jonathan Toews, and then they get in the playoffs and lose Marian Hossa.
And then we lost Forte.
And then the Bulls, they lose Derrick Rose. Not only lose Derrick Rose, they also lose Joakim Noah. Like, how unlucky can one city be? Like, how come none of the bench players could have got hurt? All our megastars were getting hurt. On the three teams that have possible chances to win championships, you believe, our superstar players get hurt. I mean, it's sports, and injuries happen. You got to deal with it. But let's talk about this Bulls and Philly series. It's disappointing because, yes, Derrick Rose is gone. Yes, Joakim Noah is gone. But our $80 million guy is fumbling in the fourth quarter. Seriously.
It's 90 million, and yeah, that's garbage.
It's however much he's making. He's got to be. Nah, he put up good numbers, 23-11, 18-10 in game three and game four. But at the end of the day, it's about how you finish. And we don't have a closer. And he's not stepping up to the plate and being a closer. Offensively, Coach Tibbs is getting outcoached brutally right now by Doug Collins. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes.
I'd have to agree with you on that. I don't necessarily think he's getting outcoached by Collins. I think he's getting outcoached by himself more than outcoached by Collins. He refuses to change the way he goes about his game plan. He refuses to change it.
Yeah, and he won't adjust on the fly at all.
He said it all season. He doesn't like changing his rotations. He doesn't do things like that. But in times like this, when you lose two starters, basically your two best players, you have to make adjustments.
You got to think outside the box.
You have to make adjustments, and he doesn't.
You have to match your opponent because it isn't the season where you're trying to manage a long, what you call it, it's a short stretch. You have seven games, and it's the first one to four, and you can't give away things like matchups like you did in the regular season, especially when like we said, you don't have a closer. You don't have your closer and your superstar, and now you're down your best and your best big man and your most emotional player. So yeah, I don't. You have to. He has to mix it up. He has to stop staying the. Stay in the course. You got to go and go do something that you ain't never done before. You
but I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna put this all on Thibodeau. The players. No, I mean, the players that need to step up, flat out, are not stepping up. I love me some Luol Deng. Yes, I do. But Luol Deng has been crap in this series. Let's just keep it. Let's just keep it real. We're keeping it real on Mayhem today.
He has to actually show up. To be crap.
Yeah.
He hasn't even showed up yet.
Like Luol Deng has stunk the court up. He's played good defense against Iguodala, but he's stunk the court. All, we need him to score, and he's not providing that. Carlos Boozer, he's been okay. He's scoring points, but when, you know, when it's big time plays and plays to be made, he's fumbling the ball, he's losing the ball, he's getting stripped. He's just, you know, it's just not working out. Thibodeau would not play Rip Hamilton in the fourth quarter. I mean, I think Rip Hamilton was on the championship team back in 2004 with the Detroit Pistons. Is that right or wrong?
Yeah, that was him. That was him.
Was that Rip Hamilton?
That was Rip.
Yes. So
we have Richard, the older version.
Regardless, he's got experience. He's played. Kyle Korver cannot listen. The Philly 76ers are just double teaming Kyle Korver off the picks. They're not letting him get no open shots.
They're doing really well defending the pick and roll and everything related to the picks in general.
Yes. So we haven't made the adjustment. Okay, fine. You want to double team Kyle Korver or Rip Hamilton to come off the pick? All you do is bring the four man, a big man up front, get him the ball, and back cut him. It's simple basketball.
The way you stop a team from defending the pick and roll hard is that your four man dives to the hole hard. That's what's supposed to happen. If you see that they trap, yet four man is supposed to go to the hole and go hard to make another rotation happen, and that's not happening.
They just got to – listen, I'm on the record right now. I'm going to say it right now. The Bulls will come back and win this series. Nah.
Man.
Dude, it's over tonight. Stop it.
Listen, Roach, I understand your love for the team.
No, it's not love. It's not about the love for the team. I'm talking realistically because I'm going to tell you something. The Bulls will win tonight, and the pressure will be squarely on Philly to win in Game 6. And if it goes to Game 7, the Bulls will win in Game 7.
I agree with you on that. If it goes to 7, the Bulls win and move on. If it goes to 7.
I think the Bulls win tonight. I think the Bulls win tonight, and if they're going to win, they better win in Game 6. The Bulls will win tonight. They're going to win tonight.
I agree with you there. The Bulls will win tonight, but I don't think the Bulls pull off a victory in Game 6.
I think they do because Philly, let's be honest, like Philly's up 3-1. They riding high right now. They haven't had the adversity that we've had so far.
No, they haven't. Yeah. And I'll tell you one thing. I've had this conversation with a lot of friends, a lot of Bulls fans that I'm friends with, and all I keep hearing is, oh, the Bulls have to win 3 in a row. Do you have any idea how hard that is to win 3 in a row? You want to know who just won 3 in a row? Who just won 3 in a row?
Philly.
The Sixers just won 3 in a row. If they can win 3 in a row, we can win 3 in a row. I'm not saying it's going to happen, and I don't think it will happen, but it's possible, and that's just I keep hearing that over and over. Oh, it's so hard to win.
Except they won 3 in a row when they were only down one game in the beginning of the series.
That's true. So it's
a different mindset.
But Philly has never closed. These players have never closed the series out.
It doesn't matter, dude. The Bulls, they aren't showing up. You're not going what you call it. You are the one player, when you have to rely on a player like Carlos Boozer, when you have to rely on Rip Hamilton, who obviously, for whatever reason, either can't finish a game or Thibodeau doesn't trust him to finish a game, for whatever reason, I mean, there's no leadership, there's no emotion, there's no fight. They aren't fighting. So it's done tonight.
I disagree with you. I don't know. Fighting. I just think they can't score.
Yeah, I think they're fine. I mean, they just
can't score. They should have won Game 3 and Game 4, honestly.
They've got massive problems. I mean, I think they're fighting. They show up until fourth quarter rolls around. It's like the LeBron of late. But, I mean, you're losing your facilitator. You have nobody to facilitate the offense, and you see that problem every single time Lucas brings the ball up the floor. He cannot get the offense going. You also lost your best rebounder and your best shot blocker. I mean, you obviously are going to take hits in games when you lose those two key parts of your team. It's going to happen.
I'm with you, Netzel. But players have to – Luol Deng, if Luol Deng – he can turn it around. I've got a feeling Luol Deng will turn it around. He's going to play. He's going to start playing better. But at the same time, I think Tom Thibodeau need to make some adjustment. I think he needs to think outside the box. He needs to find a way to create offense. Defensively, they're playing fine. They're okay. They're only giving up 80 points, 70 points a game. we're just scoring 74. We're scoring in the low 80s. You can't win like that. You have to find a way to. We cannot let Spencer Halls keep getting open pop-up jumpers.
Defense could get a little better. We gave up almost 90 the other night.
Yeah, they could be better. I mean, it's not perfect.
Nobody's perfect. But, I mean, giving up 89 to the Sixers is something that really shouldn't happen. It shouldn't.
89 points is not a lot of points.
It is when you're talking about a Bulls defense.
Yeah. And that's the Bulls average give up 88 points a game. So 89 points is really not a lot of points they're giving up. You know, eventually players, these are NBA players. They're going to make shots. They're going to make tough shots. They're going to score eventually. You have to be able to score eventually. And so it's only so far your defense can keep stopping people. Eventually, you have to score buckets.
And therein lies the problem, because you can't – they're killing the one thing that you need to score, because that's the only way that Carlos Boozer can work, because Carlos Boozer won't man up and go score. And then if you run, you are playing Philly's game. If you run, we're playing right into their hands. So it's basically, you know, it's a catch 22. I don't know what Thibodeau can do. I mean, seriously, because my thing would be to run, but you can't run against Philly because they got horses.
They got horses, but not in the starting lineup.
It doesn't matter. They have horses, period.
Listen. Spencer Hall just scored 17 points in game 3 in the second half, and then he scored another 20 points in game 4. That can't happen. We cannot let Spencer Hall win this series. You know, yes, Drew Holiday is eating C.J. Watson for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And he's had a snack and dessert. Yes, he's destroying C.J. Watson. We get that. But Spencer Hall's having 20 back-to-back, we can't – you can't do that. Iguodala's not scoring a lot of points. Lou Williams is not scoring a lot of points. Evan Turner, the main reason they're winning, yes, is Drew Holiday. But Spencer Hall's, they letting him be a second option, let him – get confidence. Take that confidence away. Get on that jump shot. Do not let him. Make him put on the floor. Make him do something else. If he sits out there, just like Carlos Boozer, if you sit there and let Carlos Boozer shoot 15, 20 footers open all day, guess what? He's going to knock every one of them down pretty much. That's all day. Mm-hmm. Stop letting him shoot. I swear, I would really consider putting Luol Deng at the power forward position. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know if it'll work, but you got to do something different. Obviously, you can't score with the lineup that you're putting in. I'd rather have a Sheik come off the bench. I might be with you, Kasima. We had the fist fight at the beginning of the show with Taj Gibson.
As always.
You know, when you're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com, give us a call, 312-564-7375. When we come back, we're going to talk more Bulls. We'll be back.
You're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
Korver comes to get it. He'll lead into a three. It's an air ball. And the Bulls are going back to Chicago, down 3-1 in the best of seven. Philadelphia, which has not won a playoff series since 2003. One win from the second round.
We got to find a way. That's it. You know, at the end, it's going to be hustle plays, tough plays, hard-nosed plays, second shot, multiple effort. That's what it comes down to.
This is Mayhem on Chicagoland Sports Radio. Give us a call with your questions, your comments, 312-564-7375. I got my distinguished panel, our distinguished co-host, Netso, Godfrey, Plant, and our super producer, Van Waldy. Now, we're going to continue this Bulls discussion. It was getting quite heated in here. Say if the Bulls do lose the series tonight. Say if it's over. Their season is over. I mean, they're not going to win a championship. I'm not saying they're going to win a championship, but I do think they're going to come back and win this series. Maybe I'm going off fool's gold. Maybe I'm thinking with my heart. I don't know. But yeah, hypothetically, if they do lose this series.
When they do. But go ahead.
You know, fine. When they do or whenever they do.
I'm just messing with you.
But no. What do you see as the Bulls' biggest offseason need?
I'm so glad you brought this up, because now, yes, KG is the man with the plan, and he is going to present his topic for discussion. I believe that the Bulls should go after Steve Nash.
That's your plan?
This is his plan. He was telling me about this yesterday, yes, in class. He wanted to bring this up on the show, so let's. We got to hear him out. Let's listen to this.
Okay,
Remember the years that he was in Dallas, and remember when they had Nick Van Etzel, when they used to bring Nick Van Etzel off the bench. Now, understand, Steve Nash isn't the Steve Nash of old, but he's still a very good player.
14, 11 assists, that's still pretty good.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. You put him on. There are two reasons why I want that. That the Bulls need to do this, or at least look into this deal. One, you give a much better back. We're probably gonna lose. Like me and Nelson talked about this yesterday. We're probably gonna lose C.J. Watson, which means we're probably gonna either take somebody off the scrap heap, or gonna have to draft a young point guard to start filling in behind roles. And I don't even know that there's a good one coming out of college unless we're gonna take the other Teague brother, who I don't know about. So this is why I say you pull Steve and we keep either one or two of JL3 or Mike James. But you have Nash, and then you bring him in and you move Derrick Rose to the two and you let them play together. And you let Steve Nash go ahead and dominate the ball, and you let Derrick Rose get his fill on to get his scoring, and he doesn't have to concentrate on trying to assist. And we can actually get more points out of Derrick at those times and let Steve run the point. And we can actually go to even a running lineup, like the small lineup. Like we could put, say, like Taj Gibson in and go dang him. And, well, Boozer should be amnestied next year. And we can go dang whoever else. I don't know who would get in a power forward to replace Boozer, but yeah.
Okay, I see your concept, yo. I'm with you. I see your concept.
Oh, and the other reason I said we need to do it is because if he goes to Miami, we getting our butts beat.
Okay, I see your concept. I see your concept. I see what you're saying. That Nash, yes, he can run the point. But here's the problem: who's Nash gonna stick? Who's gonna stick the two guard when we play? Okay, when we play Derrick Miami, you gonna put Steve Nash on Dwayne Wade?
No, Derrick Rose sticks Dwayne Wade.
Huh?
Derrick Rose sticks Dwayne Wade.
Okay, so who do you put in that? You gonna put him on Chalmers?
On Chalmers.
Listen,
dude, Chalmers is not a big scorer. Sorry, go ahead.
Go, Claire.
I have a question. What happens when a 38-year-old player goes down with some kind of injury? Because we've already had 20-somethings.
He won't, because we got Tim Grover, and we take him to see Tim Grover. He won't.
Nah, to me, the biggest Bulls need not.
He will. He's 38.
I guarantee you he will.
Tim Grover made Ron Harper last two extra years with them bad knees, and he had horrible knees before he came to Chicago.
How many extra years do you think Steve Nash is ever?
We only need him for two.
Yeah, listen, Steve Nash is 37 now, and he seems
38.
I thought you were saying 38. It'll be next year. My apologies. Well, he's 38 now, and he's, for the most part, healthy. Put together a pretty serious push to make the playoffs this year a relatively lousy team. And there's no way you can guarantee that someone's going to get injured next year. That's not something that can be said.
I'm not a
problem. And remember, he'll be playing less minutes for us.
Yeah, and Steve Nash is still one of the best point guards in the game. He's obviously not at the level of CP3 and Rondo and Rose, but they're all in their low 20s, and obviously they're better than Nash. But this guy, he's still one of the best, probably behind Rondo, the best passing point guard in the game.
Thank you.
I completely agree with you.
I mean, I absolutely agree with the fact what Nash can do. I'm not denying that.
You can't deny the man's talent.
To me, the bigger Bulls need, you said it, Cosimo, in the latter part of your statement. Say the word for me.
Amnesty.
Amnesty Carlos Boozer. It's time. It's not working. It's just not working. It's not. I don't care how many points he scores. It's just he's not the guy. He doesn't have the grit, the toughness that you need from your power forward. We need a six. I don't know where we're going to get it from either. I have no clue where we're going to find this, but we need a guy 6'10", 6'11", power forward who draws double teams, who goes down low and get buckets. We don't need no guys shooting 13 to 15, 15-footers every game. So I think that's more of an issue. And also, when is James Harden a free agent? Because the Bulls, we need to take every dollar we got and throw it at James Harden.
He's a free agent this year.
Is he really?
Yeah, it's this year.
Is it this year?
Yes, at the end of his contract.
The Bulls need to take every dollar they got and go after James Harden. Now, Steve Nash, yes. Would I like Steve Nash? Yes. But James Harden, I think, would be the guy that really would get us over the top.
I mean, I would definitely agree. Another guy you can't deny is talent. I mean, this guy's averaging 20 points off the bench. Yes. Off the bench, and this guy's coming in and averaging 20 points.
He's the best playmaker in Oklahoma City.
The only problem with that is that, let's say the Thunder don't win the NBA championship this year, and Harden's contract is up at the end of the year. You honestly think a team with all the skill in that team, they're going to let Harden go? They know how big of a hit
they can't pay him, the salary cap.
I can show you the discussion.
I don't know if Harden's a free agent or not. Somebody look that up. But
I'm looking it up right now. So it's the end of this year. I'll have an answer in a few minutes.
I have the Slam did an article on him, and it's this year.
It's this year.
Yeah.
If James Harden is a free agent, Oklahoma, you got, they just signed Kevin Durant to a mega deal.
And they just signed Russell Westbrook.
And they just, and then they gave Kendrick Perkins a lot of money. They're not, right now, James, the market, I mean, he's going to have a flood of teams after him.
That's what I'm saying. The
he's going to have a flood of teams after him.
And Reinsdorf does not like to get in bidding wars, dude.
He's going to have to. This is, this, listen, you want to, listen, you get James Harden, I don't care what you say. You get James Harden and Derrick Rose, and that's your backcourt. That is legitimate. That is a championship backcourt.
Think about the teams that he's going to be going against, dude. You talking Lakers, Clippers.
It doesn't matter. When you look at it, you're talking about a bidding war. Why are the Bulls in this situation right now with Carlos Boozer as their power forward? Because he refused to participate in those bidding wars, and we got the third best option.
I disagree with you there, because they went after Bosch. They went after LeBron.
Obviously, they went after them. Obviously, every team in their right mind who had the opportunity to go after them went after them. That does not mean they pushed as hard as they could have. And just like Kasimu was saying, he doesn't like getting in bidding wars. And he's going to have to if he wants a better outcome than Carlos Boozer at the power forward position.
I agree 100% with that.
He's going to have to give every last dime he can to James Harden.
Exactly.
He's going to have to. There's absolutely no way around
it. And he
it.
Should. He should, because that's the guy we need. That's the guy I want on the – that's the guy. He's athletic. Not only is he athletic, he can shoot the three lights out. He can create his own shot. Right. He's got handles out the world. And guess what? When Derrick Rose needs a break, guess what? James Harden can go over there and play point guard. This dude is phenomenal. He's a top 5-2 guard in the NBA right now, if not a top 3, top 4.
Harden's not a free agent until after next season.
That's what I figured. Not to next season. Okay, so we can stop talking about James Harden now. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that's what you're going to
But whatever. I think they need a more – like Rip Hamilton – I'm not knocking him, because he would have been good as long as Derrick Rose was playing, because he would have got open shots. But for him, for now, you're asking him to lead the team or like get his own shot. That's, you know, like you say, Kasima, you're right. This is not 2004. This is Richard Hamilton, not Rip. Right. Richard Hamilton needs a good point guard to play with to get open shots and stuff. So
I mean, this guy, that guy won a championship almost a decade ago.
Yeah, you know, so
almost
a
decade ago.
So I'm with you right there. I'm with you. I'm with you 100% right there. But so I think we need a more athletic two guard who can get their own shot, who's big. We don't need two small guards running out there. If Nash wants to be a six man, I would love for Nash to be a six man, but obviously he's going to start somewhere, and obviously he doesn't want to come to the Bulls. He wants to go to Miami. That's bottom line. He wants to go where he got a best chance to win a championship. So he's gonna be in Miami next year. So we can just cancel Christmas on Steve Nash. Just forget about it. We need to go ahead and get another big man. Go ahead and get rid of Carlos Boozer. Just take your losses. And get rid of Carlos Boozer and get a good two guard and another big man. And you're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Give us a call, 312-564-7375. Claire, take it away. And you're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Give us a call, 312-564-7375. You can also hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/MayhemSportsTalk, Twitter at Mayhem_Sports. I'm Zachary Roach, along with Mike Netzo, Kasimo Godfrey, Claire Plant, our super producer, Aaron Van Walder. We got a big-time show for you still to go. We're going to talk a little baseball. We're also going to – I got a poll question. Which injury in Chicago was more devastating? Was it Derrick Rose, or was it Jay Cutler, or even was it Marion Hosa and Jonathan Toews of the Blackhawks? Go ahead and chime in on Facebook. Hit us up, 312-564-7375, or Twitter at Mayhem_Sports. I'm Zachary Roach, Mike Netzo, Kasimo Godfrey, Claire Plant, and our super producer, Aaron Van Walde. When we get back, we're going to talk Cubs and White Sox. We'll be back.
Listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
To the warning track, in his first at bat, he crushes this one to right to tie the game. Gone! Ian Stewart! Yeah. And the Cubs go back-to-back. His third of the year.
And there's a base hit. Here comes Diazza. Here's the throw to the plate. Cut off. And this game is tied at 2. Yes!
There's a ball ripped to left field. Fair! That'll go to the wall. Cabrera scores the go-ahead run. Santana into third as Shelley Duncan delivers the RBI double that puts the Indians on top 3-2.
And you You're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. I'm Zachary Roach, along with Cosimo Godfrey, Mike Netzo, Claire Plant, super producer Aaron Van Walde, who just threatened me before the before you guys came on.
He threatened all of us.
Yes.
Each one of us just got threatened.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yes.
Exactly.
We can take him.
Yes.
It is not my fault. These mics suck.
Yes.
Hey. We're going to sit Claire on you. She's our bodyguard. Don't trip.
Claire take care of business. No,
I'm pretty sure I do way more than you.
On air for a while now.
Right. Yes,
right, you won't do it
exactly.
Because you know I'm scared. You know, I know. You know, I don't want to say anything, dizzy. You know,
but
yes, yes,
naturally.
You heard. You heard how she had us in check last week, dude. She was in here wielding a weapon.
Oh, well, give us a call 312-564-7375. And those highlights you just heard just made Netzel and Claire really happy. Woo! The Chicago Cubs have seemed to hit a little turning point. They're playing a lot better. Jeff Samardzija is really looking good as a starting pitcher for the Chicago Cubs now.
Yeah, but he would look better as a starting wide receiver.
See, I had said that for years and years and years.
I'm still saying
finally,
it. F that.
Finally, after years of waiting, he looks like a major league pitcher. This guy's 4-1 this season, has a microscopic ERA of below, I think it's like 0.65 in his last three starts. Not his season ERA. His season ERA is somewhere around 2, I believe. But in the last three starts, his ERA is a 0.65. He has been absolutely killing it of late.
Can you loan him to the Bears when the season starts? I mean, I'm just saying. Can we need a tight end for real? What's up with that?
I'd let a platoon over for the Bears. Why not? Why not? Why not help both teams? I mean, the Cubs will be out of it by September, so why does it matter?
To me, by September, by next month.
Well, no. See, I can't say that. The way things have been going in this last week, the Cubs,
St. Louis is running away with the division.
Oh, really? Because the Cubs are only 6 games behind. 6 games is nothing in 162 games. Season.
Only 6 games.
But it's that the Cubs. And the Cubs tend to warm up the warmer it gets.
Yeah, but we'll see.
With the season.
Let's not, you know, nah, that's by my June. Job. My job is to jump the gun.
Samardzija will be warming up for NFL minicamp.
Nah, I mean, in all reality, the Cubs are probably around a 500 ball club, like we stated earlier this year before the season started. They got off to a real rocky start, as we all know. Real rocky, and things look pretty bad. But they've hit a little turning point, like Roach said, and things have looked really, really good in the last week and a half.
They've been decent.
Yeah, I mean, Starlin Castro has played out of his mind, like most expected. Brian Leher has gone above and beyond expectations from Cubs fans, and even above expectations for the Cubs' new management. I mean, they were talking about bringing Rizzo. I mean, Rizzo has been the talk in this town as the future at first base for the Northsiders. That's how it's gone ever since we brought him in from San Diego. And now there are reports that they're going to move DeJesus over to center and put Rizzo in right. And you're going to have the two biggest power hitters in this organization right now in the same lineup someday. And I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait till it happens.
Our favorite part, though, has to do with the pitching. The Marmol.
Oh, my God. You have no idea. I was furious last night. They pitched Marmol in the eighth yesterday, and I was going nuts. I was sitting right down by the third by the Cubs dugout, like four rows behind, and I let Marmol have it. I did not want him in that game. And as you saw, he got himself into a little jam last night. Mm-hmm. It was a little sticky. He got out of it without giving up a run, but still, he got into a little bit of jam, and I was
Well, sometimes that's all it takes for a player to get confidence. You know, get yourself in a jam. Sometimes you need to get yourself in a jam and get out of it.
Yeah, but he gets in a lot of jams.
Far too many jams.
He's always in a jam.
He's got 3 blown saves.
It's not 290.
They need to take pitches away from him. I think they need to take down the number of pitches he throws. I think they need to limit him to like 2. Because what is it?
He only throws 2 pitches. He throws a fastball and a slider. Those are the only pitches he throws. He throws a slider.
Because they already took one away earlier. They already told him he couldn't.
He throws the fastball. They were originally taking away his slider. He's only really thrown 2 pitches his entire career.
Yeah.
He's had one of the nastiest sliders in the game and still does. His slider is extremely effective, but it's only effective when he can place his fastball. If he can't place his fastball, his slider doesn't do anything.
Absolutely.
Okay. Every batter knows if he's going at him with a fastball, it's going to be a ball. And if they're coming at him with a slider, just don't swing because the next pitch is going to be a fastball and he's going to walk you. And that's been the scouting report on Marmol for the past season and a half. Because he has absolutely no command over his fastball. He thinks the strike zone is 10 times as big as it actually is.
I don't know.
Well, I will say about the Cubs.
Horrible.
You see, they got some building blocks in place now.
Right.
They got some building blocks. They got some young players. They got some talent out there. I mean, is it going to come through tuition this year? Absolutely not. But they got something they can build on now. And they're starting to show. They got some Jeff Samardzija maybe showing that he can be a starting pitcher. Maybe he could be a starting pitcher. You got Starlin Castro. He's going to be a superstar.
He's going to kill. He's going to get 200 hits again this year.
You know, he's going to be a superstar. So they've got pieces. You know, they're young right now. They still got a lot to, you know, they need a lot more. But I do like the energy they're playing with. They're playing hard. And that's good to see from a young team when the team is out there going and they're playing hard and they seem excited to play. So Dale Swain is obviously doing something right with the Cubs. Yeah. Well, on the opposite end, I know Cosimo. The Chicago White Sox, they started off good. They was in first place for about 5 minutes.
Was it a whole five? I counted more like 2.5.
That's 5 more minutes and the Cubs were in first place. So at least he got something.
Good Lord.
But then as soon as they was in first place, they just tanked. They just went down. So the White Sox, bottom line, like, yes, I was saying, like, yes, I was excited. You know, I was White Sox, yeah. But the bottom line, the White Sox are who we thought they were. Okay.
Listen, they peaked. They peaked. Yeah. Umber throwing that perfect game was the highlight of this Sox season.
And I don't want the White Sox to throw any. I don't want the White Sox throwing no more perfect games. That's how they throw a perfect game. No, it's followed up with a crazy losing streak.
I want the one pitcher that's supposed to throw a perfect game to throw a perfect game, but that's Peavy. I don't want
Peavy was excellent at first,
fake,
but he's
Peavy is going to be gone in the next couple of
that's
months.
That's fine. I know he's going
to
be gone.
Bye bye to Peavy, Sox fans.
I understand that he's trade bait. As soon as July hits, I get that because, yeah, this team needs so many pieces.
How's Adam Dunn doing so far?
Adam Dunn's on it. He's leading the AL in home runs right now. So Adam Dunn,
which is scary.
No problems with Adam Dunn, in my opinion. The White Sox have two fundamental flaws, and they both fall upon the shoulders of Kenny Williams.
Yep.
And that's the fact that they have arguably the worst farm system in all of the MLB.
Which used to be good.
It used to be good, but it has absolutely fallen apart, and they have arguably the worst.
Because traded everybody
and he's,
away.
He's taken steps in this last offseason. You guys saw you moved Santos, and you moved, who was that other guy?
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his
Carlos
name.
Carlos Quinton.
Yeah.
Carlos Quinton, and you didn't really get any studs for him. You got a bunch of minor league pitchers and a couple of AAA guys, but still your AAA system it's awful. It's god-awful. And Kenny loves taking risks on big-name guys, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. It didn't work out for Dunn the first year. Seems to be working out now. And Kenny needs to put a more serious
he still can't hit
thought
left-handers.
into Latin American players. The White Sox do not have a big enough presence in Latin America. They just flat out don't. And Kenny should know at this point that this game, Latin Americans mean so much in the game of baseball today. They just do.
But the White Sox are so far behind the curve on that. I mean, they're just so far behind the curve. They're like 10 yards. They're 10 years behind everybody else. Everybody else has had. Training facilities. Training facilities. They already have the best players in the system.
I understand and I agree with you, but that doesn't mean it's too late to get started.
I'm not saying it's not.
Because if you don't get started at this point, and yeah, Kenny has made trips down to the Dominican Republic several times in the last year, but this is just the very beginning of work that he needs to get going because he needs to make the Sox known. He needs that name to be branded in Latin America, in the Dominican Republic,
he needs
in
to do
Cuba.
What everybody else has done, which
exactly.
is build a training facility somewhere in the islands.
You can't expect your farm system to grow and get any better if you don't have a solid presence in Latin America. Because as we all know, Latin Americans are extremely talented when it comes to baseball, and there are. I'm not trying to be a dick or anything like that. That's just how it is. They're very talented when it comes to baseball. They spend their entire lives playing baseball. When you're in the Dominican Republic, you play baseball. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
And Kenny needs to make the Sox symbol. He needs to brand their logo in that area.
Well, wherever he's going, he needs to find some players. He needs to find the talent. They're 13-17 right now. Then they're only 4 games out, you know.
I thought they were 5 games out.
Under 500 is what I'm saying.
Okay. 4 games under 500, but 5 games.
They're five games out. First. Cleveland is 17-11. I didn't realize they were doing that good. Wow. Yeah, the Indians are. Yeah, I guess they just swept the White Sox, so I guess they're doing something right.
it's not that hard to sweep either of the Chicago teams at this point.
Okay, let's talk about something else in baseball. What do you guys start with you, Nestle? I know you're on it. Cole Hamels beaming the phenom to initiate him into the Major League Baseball. It was that a gutless, classless, jerkless. I mean, I can't even think of another word for it. It was just, that was awful. Why would he do that?
I agree with it. Obviously, getting hit by a pitch is part of the game. Pitchers throw up batters. It happens.
All the time.
It's part of the game. It's just like getting hit in hockey is part of the game. Fights are part of the game.
All the time.
People throw at other people in anger, in retaliation. That happens. And it's widely accepted. It's an unwritten rule in the MLB that it's pretty much accepted. Players are going to get upset at each other, but they allow it to happen.
Right.
What Cole Hamels did was unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
The Nationals did nothing to instigate that Bryce Harper getting hit by a pitch. Bryce Harper himself didn't do anything to instigate getting hit by a pitch. And you know what? He took the high road and made Hamels pay for it.
Exactly.
Took third on a single and then stole home on a pickoff attempt to first.
Yep.
Bryce Harper is, and I'm not the biggest fan of the kid. I think he's pretty smug, to be honest with you. But he has handled himself. The kid's 19 years old, and he's handled himself like he's been in the league for 10 years.
He's the best 5-2 player we've seen since Larry Walker, dude. I mean, for real. I have to support Nettles on this. That's just stupid. I mean, you could have waited till he hit a home run off you and beamed him. I mean, then it would have been acceptable, and you know, and then for you to go and speak to the press and say that y'all hit him just because he came up, dude, how dumb can you be?
Yeah, that was he was just tripping. I don't know. Maybe he had a drink or something before he started pitching or something. Maybe he just something was bothering him before he went out to the mound. I don't know.
It's the thing that Mike spoke to. Everybody has been hearing rumors about this kid and been hearing that he's not humble. You know that he has an issue with humility. We've been hearing about that. But like he said, ever since he's got to the majors, you haven't seen it. You know, it was all through when he got drafted and all through single A and double A. But when he got the triple A and then he got close to the majors, it never materialized.
It really started years and years ago. I remember a couple years back, he made the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was 15 years old.
Exactly.
And there was this massive article. The main article in that issue was all about Bryce Harper, this 15-year-old kid who's hitting 500-foot home runs. If you're 15 and you're hitting 500-foot home runs,
Sports Illustrated comes to your door.
You have the right to be a little cocky.
Exactly.
And you're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Give us a call, 312-564-7375. Our poll question for today, which injury is more devastating, Derrick Rose or Jay Cutler? When we come back, Claire's going to give us our Dancing with the Stars update. We'll be back.
You're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
And you're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Give us a call, 312-564-7375. Our Mayhem poll question, which injury was more devastating? Was it Derrick Rose or Jay Cutler? Some of you may think Marion Hosted or Jonathan Tase. No matter what, three teams with championship aspirations pretty much killed because of injuries. But into better news, Claire has our Dancing with the Stars up there. How is Donald Driver doing?
Good.
Is he in the top?
I think he slipped a little bit last night, but he's still really good.
He's still really good.
They're getting to the end now. They have a double elimination tonight. So it's...
Who should we be looking for?
Well, Donald Driver looks really good.
Yeah.
They all do right now, except for the Little House on the Prairie woman, Melissa, whatever her name is. Gilbert, yeah. Melissa Gilbert, she isn't looking
good.
She's okay. She did really well last night for the first time in the entire competition, but...
Who's been the worst dancer so far on Dancing with the Stars?
This season?
Yeah, this season.
I would have to say, I can't remember his name. He was on, I feel like he was on like Melrose Place, like the original one, or 90210.
Hey, like, what was Heather? Was it Heather Lockyer?
No, it was a guy.
No, I know it was a guy, but I Melrose Place used to be one of my favorite shows, you know. Jason Presley?
No, it wasn't any guy like that. I don't know.
The dude that used to rap?
Jack Wolf, something like that.
I don't know.
But anyway, Melrose Place, you just brought up some memories. I used to love Melrose Place.
Yeah, Melrose Place was great. And
I don't know, it might have been 902. I don't know. It was an old show. He wasn't good. Also,
obviously,
Gavin DeGraw, he wasn't very good.
He wasn't that good?
No.
He just looked like he can't move.
How do you look like you can't move?
The boy looks stiff as a boy. Stop it.
Stiff?
He looks super stiff.
He's a singer.
Yeah. He's not a dancer. He's a singer.
Yeah, right.
But I think Donald Driver might win it.
Football is down, but they're Dancing with the Stars.
I know. Hines Ward. Yes. Who else?
Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice.
Emma Smith.
Yeah, Emma Smith is really good.
The positions that.
Even Warren Sapp was good. Yeah, he didn't win, but Warren Sapp was fantastic on
Kurt
there.
Kurt Warner was not very good then.
Yeah, you know.
He's a quarterback.
You know, quarterbacks can't dance. They throw the ball. Exactly. You know, that's what they
stand
do.
There. And look pretty.
Don't forget our poll question today, guys. Which injury was more devastating to Chicago? Was it Derrick Rose? Was it Jay Cutler? Was it Marion Hossa? Was it Jonathan Toews? Whatever injury it was, you had three potential championship teams that might be derailed because of injuries. The Bulls are the last one standing. Hopefully they can come back and do something, but I doubt it. But we'll see. We got a few people responding. A lot of people saying D-Rose. But take yourself out of the situation. I know it just happened right now, but look at the whole thing about it. Look at the Jay Cutler situation from afar. As well, you look at Derrick Rose and see how they compare. You're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Give us a call, 312-564-7375. It's time for Claire with our updates.
This is ChicagolandSportsRadio.com, WICD, Chicago.
You're listening to Mayhem with Zach Roach, Mike Netzel, Claire Plant, and Kasimu Godfrey.
And this is Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Give us a call, 312-564-7375. You can also hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/MayhemSportsTalk. Twitter @Mayhem_sports. The New Orleans Saints, it just doesn't stop. It just don't stop. I mean, what's going to come out tomorrow about the Saints? Now, Anthony Hargrove, you know, who's been suspended. Let's keep this in the proper context. Anthony Hargrove, who's been suspended, is filing an appeal. So is Jonathan Vilmans and whoever else was suspended.
Fujita.
So, for now that the story comes out that, you know, that Greg Williams and, you know, the Joe Vitt told him to play dumb, it's very believable. Don't get me wrong. But it also could be perceived as them trying to save their own butt during their appeal to try to make it seem like where they were forced to do this and, you know, and they said play dumb, so we just did what our coaches and our boss say. So, you can look at it from both angles. But whatever angle you want to look at it, it's bad. It is really bad. You know, we was arguing earlier, yes, no one got hurt from this. We all know that. The Saints defense, if they had a bounty on it, I don't know where it was at because they stunk on defense. Their defense was horrible. You know, they let San Francisco run them right out the playoffs. But with that being said, it was statements, and everybody acknowledged it. So it was done, and it was wrong. But now you got, what was the story a couple weeks ago with the wiretapping on other?
But it was a few years back. They had wiretapped the other coaches or the other teams.
Yeah, yes, so they can hear headphones, whatever.
Headphone system, so they could figure out their plays, etc.
So they're denying all these claims, but eventually it's going to be like, wait a minute. All these claims keep coming in, and you guys keep denying it. You know, why would people keep saying this stuff about you if it's not true? People are wrong. People do lie. People do spread rumors. People do gossip. So it's possible people could lie on them. But if it just keeps coming out about the same team and the same person, you know, eventually you're going to be like, all right, wait a minute. This just isn't a coincidence. This isn't like the world against the Saints. You know, they've taken responsibility for their actions. Now, I think the player, Roger Goodell, he set the tone in this, no doubt about it. I mean, he's fair. Like, you could say that he goes too far. He is fair. He gives, you know, well, it's one case I don't think he was too fair in, but that'd be another day. But,
which case was that?
I think Ben Roethlisberger should have been suspended more than 4 games. If you get 2 rape charges, 2 women accusing you of getting raping you, you know what I'm saying? I think that's more than, you know. And then you suspended Pac-Man for a whole season. even though he was messing up, he had no charges against him. You know, and I think, you know, and you suspended Michael Vick for a year or two. Yes, killing animals is definitely wrong, no doubt about it, because I love dogs. I love my dogs. And, you know, that's definitely wrong. But I think raping a woman is worse than both those. I mean, you know, correct me if I'm right or wrong, you know. But that's that's a different story. So I think
there's a little bit of difference when you're talking about Vick and Roethlisberger, because Vick was convicted. Roethlisberger never was.
True. That's true, too.
So you can't, I mean,
but
you can't.
Pac-Man wasn't convicted either, and he got a whole year.
It's true.
But the reason that the reported reason that, or supposedly my understanding, that the reason why Vic got suspended a year is because he initially lied to Goodell.
And that's
like
understandable.
That.
I'm not saying Vic didn't deserve the suspension. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying he didn't deserve what he got. I think he deserved everything he got, you know. And he, I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is he was, with the Ben Roethlisberger case, you know, it made it seem like it was like, okay, suspended four games.
It's just funky, twice.
He got accused twice.
Yeah.
He got accused twice.
It's funky because he's got decisions where he didn't do anything to other people that actually killed people. So, whatever. But I'm with that, too. I don't agree with some of Goodell back and forth. But anyway, I'm sorry, Claire, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
I'm just going to go back to what we were originally talking about, was the Saints. And, you know, when it rains, it pours. When one thing comes out, everything's going to come out eventually. You do have to watch out for the players potentially saving their own asses, saying, well, he said do this and he said do that. And, and you know, they could be. But, I mean, they're not going to not follow their coach. So, I mean, or what they're being told, or else they're not going to play. And obviously they want to play. Now, does that mean that they're innocent? No. They still took part in it. They didn't come forward at all to anyone or anyone. They didn't go to Roger Goodell and say, this is what's happening. But which they could have. But I think it's ridiculous that they... I mean, I know they're not going to come out and just say, yeah, okay, we did everything. But it's ridiculous for them to try to deny all this. Oh, no, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. When obviously it did.
Well, Netzel made a good point earlier today, and you know, we off the air, he talked about like you have a job, any job, and your boss tells you to do something, and if you don't do it, you can lose your job. You know, right or wrong, you got to have morals. You got to think about what you're doing too. But things like that happen all the time.
Yeah. I understand that, but there was someone higher up that they could have gone to, who's obviously Roger Goodell is a strict guy.
But all the higher ups on the Saints were behind this bounty program.
Yeah, they were just involved.
I'm not talking about the higher ups on the Saints.
Well, that's all.
Talking about Roger Goodell.
Who's
we're not talking about Roger. We're saying like, all right.
Why?
But if
you had a problem with it and you thought that who are you going to tell? Obviously, you're not going to tell any of the higher ups in the Saints organization because they'll fire you. They'll let you go. But there is someone else you can go to who isn't affiliated with the Saints organization. Who, if you really gave a crap, then you could go to him.
They can't. That's the problem, though. They can't fire you. That can't happen. They're not allowed to fire you.
You're
under contract. They're going to keep you under contract. And I was reading this article about Rick Riley wrote this article earlier today. It was talking about if you're in the army and your colonel gives you an order and you disobey it, you're going to be shipped off to some terrible detail that you're going to spend the rest of your life at. And if you're one of these Saints players on defense and you stand up in the middle of the pre-game speech and you stand up and say, Coach, I don't think this is ethical. I don't think we should do this. You know what? You're not going to play.
But don't go. I'm not telling. I said exactly. Don't go to them. Don't. Why would you go to someone in the Saints organization? Obviously, you can't do.
Because you're going to get. It doesn't matter. Either way, you're going to get benched. You're under contract. You are under contract. They cannot just let you go.
It's hard not to listen to the guy who's
running
your checks.
I'm not saying that. Why wouldn't you go to Roger Goodell?
Because you're going to get benched either way. Either way, it doesn't matter who you go to, whether you say it to your defensive coordinator, your general manager.
How are they going
to
know that you did it? How are they going to know it was you?
If you go tell Goodell, it's all going to come out. That all that stuff has to be written down. All of that stuff. Sources have
fine, but then the organization's going to get crapped on anyway, and all those guys are out now or suspended. So then what? So then you're not playing under them anymore.
What happens is that it goes around the league, and regardless of what they may say publicly behind closed doors,
do it alone. You get a group together and you do it.
Doesn't matter. General managers collude. They do it all the time. Owners collude. You see it in the bargaining agreements.
Okay, then nothing's ever going to change. You guys
shouldn't have to change. This is football.
You don't put a bounty out on people. I don't care what sport it is. I don't care if it's gladiators in Rome who are supposed to kill. You don't do it.
The same thing is done in college football, except it's not with money. And we've had this conversation.
I know. We have talked about it. That doesn't make it any better. That doesn't make it right.
It's what football is. Football is a contact sport. You get hit hard in football all the time. And I'll go back to it again.
You don't do it. You don't go to a... You don't say, this person,
okay.
And that person.
All right, Claire, then show me film of the illegal hit laid on Brett Favre or Kurt Warner. Please show me that film.
It doesn't matter. Just because it didn't happen doesn't mean that it wasn't out there, that they didn't tell you to do it. That doesn't make it okay. That's like saying, you go kill that person. Just because you didn't do it doesn't make the other guy a bad person for telling you to go do it. Just because you're the hitman doesn't mean the other person who hired you isn't... That doesn't make any sense.
I got to go with Claire in this argument. I got to go with Claire.
There's always a solution.
It's no. Not in the NFL. It doesn't. Unfortunately, cats have to think about their jobs and thinking about going to other teams. You don't stay with the same team, and you don't want to be, what you call it, you have one shot.
Now Claire's talking about it. Claire's talking about it from an ethical point of view.
I understand. Yeah, from the ethical,
she's right.
And we're talking about it from the...
So,
we're talking about it from a business, right, from a game standpoint.
Then,
and over and above all, the NFL is a business, and it is a game. It's not
an ethics
convention.
Consequences. As a player, then, you have to face the consequences.
Because somebody snitched. This happens all across what you call it. That's why you don't see too many cats talking about it.
And I'm not saying players shouldn't have to serve a suspension, right, and obviously they will. But it's complete. The amount, the level of the suspensions and the severity of suspensions are not equal, are not even, are not correct for these players' roles in this situation.
Exactly. Now that
you're telling me that Vilma should be suspended and fined over four times as much as the owner for the Saints for participating in something that wasn't his idea in the first place? That's like saying what are you talking about? That's what you've been saying.
I have been saying that they should get punished, they need to be punished, and I don't think they should be complaining, and I don't think they should be bitching about getting punished.
Their punishments are not fair.
Having to do a job, having to do what they're supposed to do, what their check says they're supposed to do. It's the same thing.
Exactly.
Too bad.
You agreed to do it.
It's like being part of an embezzlement situation.
Again, it goes back to my same point. If your boss tells you to do something, you're going to do it.
And if it's not ethical and you don't think it's right, then get a group together, because I guarantee you all those other people didn't think it was right either. You get people together and you get it.
Really? So you think of all those people who were involved, so many of them didn't think it was right?
Yeah, because you don't think all those good players are not going to be picked up by somebody just because they did?
No.
Because if all those players are that good, they're going to get picked up by somebody else.
Honestly believe there were that many players who thought it was unethical, if you really think there were a big enough group for them to, that there was a big enough group of people who thought it was unethical, they would have done something.
So you're telling me
the owner of the Saints who got fined $500,000.
Maybe he should have gotten fined more then. Then he should have gotten fined more. But that doesn't mean the players shouldn't have gotten what they got.
Okay, Claire, make your last point.
There's no way that the owner of the Saints should not get a $500,000 penalty and Vilma be suspended for an entire year and lose $2 million for something that wasn't his idea. How can you support anything to the opposite of that? How can you? Opposite of that just flat out does not make sense. Flat out doesn't make sense.
I don't know how it doesn't make sense.
Because the person who orchestrated the entire thing getting a less severe penalty than the people who are just following orders.
Don't give them a less severe penalty, but they can't complain about what they're getting.
Yes, they can. That's exactly why they can.
You're not getting it. They can't complain about it. They can complain about the other person getting more, but they can't complain about what they are getting.
Well, make your last point, Mike. Last point.
I mean, what do you want? What point do you want me to make, Claire? That flat out doesn't make sense.
No,
The players' penalties were handed down after the management penalties were handed down. The coaches, the general managers, the owners, their penalties were all laid down weeks before the players.
They should have gotten more.
Obviously, that is what I'm trying to tell you, and you are disagreeing with it wholeheartedly.
Hold on, guys.
We gotta go to break. But I love it. You're listening to this is mayhem. This is what I'm talking about. This is real mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Give us a call 312-564-7375. I'm fired up right now.
You're listening to Mayhem every Tuesday 3 to 5 on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
Oh, yeah. Hey. You're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Give us a call, 312-564-7375. I'm here with the distinguished panel. I'm Zach Roach, Mike Netzel, Cosimo Godfrey, Claire Plant, the Raging Bull, Claire Plant. Wow, that was fantastic.
And also,
and we got our super producer. Don't apologize for being excited, okay? Excitement is good. We got our super producer, Aaron Van Walde. The NBA playoffs suck this year. Let's just be honest. Let's just be honest about it. They don't suck, okay? The Clippers in Memphis right now. That's a lot of drama. Chris Paul is destroying the Grizzlies right now. He's absolutely tearing them apart. But then you got other series like Boston is absolutely destroying Atlanta right now. You know, not even a contest. They're going to be gone next game. The Bulls, of course, who lost Derrick Rose. It's over. Has anybody even watched any other Orlando series?
Yo, to be honest, 200% honest with you, no, I have not seen a single second of any of those games. Other than what SportsCenter shows me at night and in the morning, I have not tuned into a single one of those. I don't care.
I caught it while watching, by waiting for the Bulls to come on. Like, they had it on NBA TV at Tilt the Q, and it was on like one of the TVs. So I had to like every once in a while peep at it to get basketball action while I was waiting for the Bulls to start. But yeah, no, I haven't really watched that series because it's crapola.
San Antonio just swept Utah last night.
Ew, beat them.
Yeah, beat Dallas City. Miami and New York, they're going to game 5.
That's Carmelo was balling.
Carmelo's got to score 40 every game.
He'll care. He'll do it. He'll care.
It's possible.
He'll average 45. Average 45.
He can do it. But the one thing that's got what's got the roach ready to explode is the refereeing right now in the playoffs. It is just utterly ridiculous. And it's shameful to watch as a basketball fan because you know that these calls that are being made got favoritism in mind, it seems like to me. Now, I may be going out of line and saying that the NBA referees are favoring some players, but I'm saying it, they are. Okay, like I'm watching the Miami New York series. You can't even breathe on Miami without them calling the foul. And then
heavy breathing is sometimes.
Yes, I guess. Unless, if you got bad breath, now if you got bad, you
I'm
know,
just saying,
your
you
breath
know.
Smell like your tongue farted. Yeah, that is a foul. but if you look, even the hometown series, Bulls and Philly, like Carlos Boozer got mugged on that play.
Yeah.
That was a huge turnaround because instead of him getting two free throws to tie the game up, they call another BS bullcrap foul for Jrue Holiday, who didn't even get touched. And that pretty much ended the game right there. So yeah. The refs are having way too much to do with the outcome of a game than it should be. If you're going to let them play physical, let everybody play physical. If you're gonna call it real tight, call everybody tight. Don't call physical for certain people. It's ridiculous. It is utterly ridiculous right now what's going on with the referees. Anybody want to chime in?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that anyone can state any more than what you've already stated about the refs. Obviously, it is piss poor officiating in the NBA. It has been for years, and it doesn't seem like there's anything in place to change it. That's easily the most poorly officiated sport in America. Easily.
By far.
Easily.
By far. And it's ridiculous because basketball is a great game.
Well,
it's a great game.
They need to do like I was sitting there, like when we've had these conversations offline and I told you, they need to have a point system or some type of rating system like the NFL has. When the playoffs start, only the best crews get to ref NFL playoff games. And that's how it should be for the NBA. I mean, even if you have to, I don't know if they could do it because like with the NFL, you have a smaller number of games, so it's probably easier to do a rating system. But there has to be some sort of checks and balances or some way that bad crews can't ref playoff games because it's just horrible. I mean, it's been going bad for the last 5 years, but now refs are actually starting to referee calls are actually starting to affect the outcomes, and that's what they were okay. That's what was that will that wasn't happening some years ago, but now it is. We have like what at least 10 games so far this year in the playoffs that have been affected by a call somewhere down in the stretch in the last 5 minutes.
That's
unacceptable.
They need to stop with the superstar calls. Listen, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant. They're all really good players. They don't need no extra help. They don't need the extra help from the referees. You know, just because they throw the arms up don't mean it's a foul.
Right.
Just because they walk down the court complaining, expecting to get all the calls. Now, in a regular season, yes, Kasima, you're right. That always goes in a regular season where the better players get the benefit out of a doubt.
Right.
You know, but in the playoffs, this is money time. This is where jobs are lost. This is where seasons are lost. The last thing you want to worry about is how is the refs going to call a game. Like, even last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, do I think that, you know, the refs against the Bulls were terrible in that series against us in that Miami series. Do I think that's the reason we lost the series? No. But at the same time, in that series, Miami got every call. LeBron James gets every call. Dwayne Wade gets every call. Derrick Rose gets no calls. And he goes and plays harder than either one of them going to the rack and everything. He can't get to the free throw line.
Well, he was complaining about that earlier this season.
Yeah, finally. He finally said so. And I think, honestly, after that game in Philly at game four, I think Tom Thibodeau should have went up there in the press during his press conference report and got a fine. Took a fine for the team and called out the referees. Because that's what Phil Jackson used to do all the time.
Right.
And, yes, he would get a fine. But in return, it would help his team out, and they would, you know, they would even the calls out, and all of a sudden I think he needs to do that, because if he doesn't, it's just going to keep happening.
Especially after that was a blatant miss on the Carlos Boozer play. I mean, both of them got him. I mean, neither of them got ball cleanly, so yeah. I don't know.
He got mugged on that play.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he came back with his clothes on. Like, I'm just.
That's lucky he bring his wallet to play that night, because he would be so.
Yeah, he'd been one broke dude, you know. Right. So yeah, but it's, you got to call the games fair. You know, referees. You know, David Stern says you can't say nothing about the referees publicly, but the players, you can say anything you want about the players publicly, and which deservedly. So I'm not saying that they shouldn't be able to. But the refs should be able to take criticism just like anybody else. They're paid. It's just like any other job. They're paid to do a job. They're paid to be the best referees they can be.
Right.
Now who's to say? I'm not saying this is happening. I'm not saying this is a conspiracy.
Maybe people above the referees are telling them, make sure you give these guys a call. Because you know what? David Stern sees all the injuries
and everything else. Maybe he's trying to make sure that... Maybe he's trying to make sure that the right teams play in the finals. I don't know.
No, it's for the bigger paycheck. You and I both know that he, like everybody else knows, there are bigger markets that you want.
He wants LeBron James in the finals.
Well, you need, you want LeBron James in the finals because that'll get you. But Miami is a big market, but you want the bigger market teams in the finals, because you know you're not going to get a rating, say if you have, like you had when you had San Antonio versus Detroit. You know, that was one of the lowest rated NBA final series that they've ever had.
I mean, if that's the case, why are the refs in favor of a team from Philadelphia?
I don't know. I don't understand what this is, but yeah, I'm saying that's usually the rumor. I don't know what this is now, but yeah, I have no idea.
It's the same thing that kept the Kings out of the finals couple
exactly,
years,
right,
like a decade.
Yeah. Then again, number one overall seed getting a ousted by a number eight. It's pretty.
Yeah, that is pretty rare. So yeah. That's a pretty big story.
Yeah.
It's a big story if Derrick Rose and everybody was healthy. It'd be a huge story.
Yeah, I mean, if Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah were healthy, we wouldn't be having this.
You know, if Derrick, let's just be honest. Let's just be honest about it. You know, the Bulls
beating the one seed is kind of
the Bulls kind of without Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah is about a seventh or eighth seed without them. So that's just the bottom line. So. It's an even matchup now. You know, Philly might be a little better now, honestly, than the Bulls. You know, they got a few more weapons they can go to than we got. But the Bulls, it's frustrating to watch these refs in these games. It's not just the Bulls game. It's hurting me because of the Bulls. Because it was two Pacific calls that pretty much did the Bulls in game four. But it's just, it's going throughout the playoffs, and it is, call the games fair. Like, LeBron James is already a super mega man robot, you know, a transformer, whatever you want to call him.
Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime. He doesn't need no help. He's already hard enough to stop. He doesn't need the refs' help, you know. Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant, the same way. These guys are phenomenal. They're phenomenal. And then if you can't, and now you telling me I can't play defense on them? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I just got to let them score?
Basically. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Give us a call, 312-564-7375. It is time for Miss Claire, the Raging Bull, to take it away with our updates. Give us a call, 312-564-7375. I'm Zachary Roach, along with Mike Netzel, Cosimo Godfrey, Claire Plant, Aaron Van Waldy. You can hit us up at facebook.com/Mayhem Sports Talk, Twitter at Mayhem_sports. And Netzel has a question for everybody.
All right, here it goes. I assume we are all relatively big LeBron haters for the way he carries himself. And I assume we're all pretty big MJ fans, considering we're all Bulls fans and from Chicago. So this is my question for you. In this NBA playoffs, what would you rather see happen? LeBron win his first championship or Kobe win his sixth and square it up with Jordan?
Easily. Kobe win his sixth championship.
Exactly what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, I do not want exactly Miami. I do not want to see Miami win a championship.
Neither do I.
I'm so glad
you went there. I would rather see Kobe win 15 championships. Obviously, that's not going to happen, but I'd rather see him, let's say, win 8 total championships than LeBron ever win a single one.
I agree.
I'm going to be the contrarian and sit there and say,
contrarian, huh? The contrarian, huh?
The contrarian, huh? I'm using big words, okay.
I'm sorry that the English major has to represent. Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous. I've been reading this week. It's a rare occurrence, I know. Thank you. I'm going to say neither. I don't want to see neither.
That wasn't the question.
I said one. I was going to be a contrarian.
No one wants to see either.
Let's say the Lakers the Heat meet up in the finals.
I'll choose Kobe.
All right, good. Okay. I just needed to make sure it was a question. I thought of the other day.
And I may have a poll question. Which injury was more devastating to Chicago? Was it Jay Cutler? Was it Derrick Rose? Some of you might even say Marion Hossa and Jonathan Toews. You're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Give us a call, 312-564-7375. Facebook.com/Mayhem Sports Talk. Twitter at Mayhem_sports. We're on every Tuesday from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. In the meantime, in between time, we'll be back.
You're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
Love this song. You're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Give us a call, 312-564-7375. Facebook.com/Mayhem Sports Talk. Twitter at Mayhem_sports. We having a couple technical difficulties in the studio, but we're still surviving. We're still bringing mayhem to you guys. I'm Zachary Roach, along with Mike Netzel, Cosimo Godfrey, Claire Plant, super wonderful producer, Aaron Van Waldy. Last, we had a death in football. Junior Seau passed away. Our condolences to Junior Seau and his family. Wow, that came out of nowhere. He just seemed like such a happy guy. Like, I think there's more questions, like, especially with retired football players. It is really hard to find life once after football for a lot of these guys.
True, but I don't know how much, I know there's some people who take no stock in this, but I personally think that it's connected. Concussions and playing on concussions, especially when they weren't paying attention to it back when Junior Seau probably started playing, and how it leads to depression and just overall not just strange but actually harmful in action, like you're a harm to yourself. Like, yeah. you
basically erratic behavior.
Yeah.
Bipolar. There are a whole bunch of effects that are starting to show up in older players that they're now starting to trace to head trauma that they sustained and ignored during their playing years. I mean, they found that with the Dave Duerson. But yeah, they found that after Dave Duerson killed himself and his family allowed his brain to be exhumed and examined. So yeah,
I think they gave it right to.
Yeah, they gave it right to. Yeah. I'm sorry, before they even buried him.
See, right. I definitely agree with you guys that concussions play a big factor in all these and all the depression related issues that ex football players have. But at the same time, I think you got to look at the sport of football as a drug. You really do. Think about it. These guys will never, ever, once they retire from the league, and especially a guy like Junior, he will never, ever, ever again in his life find something that will give him as big of an adrenaline rush as the NFL did.
Yeah.
He will never, ever, ever be able to obtain how much love, how much adrenaline he received from that game. He just will not be able to find it in any profession he goes into.
That's
you go from getting so ridiculously pumped up every Sunday. This guy played for 20 years.
Right.
16 Sundays, and a lot of the times more than 16 Sundays because he was on a lot of playoff teams.
Right.
17, 18 Sundays a year. This guy is getting so jacked up. Their adrenaline is just flowing out of this guy's pores, and then all of a sudden just comes to a stop. It's cold turkey, just like a drug. It's cold turkey. It comes to a stop, and that completely destroys some people.
Well, I've known other football players who said, you know, to be especially a linebacker and in positions like that, you got to be a little off kilter in the first place. Not that they're all nuts, or not that they all have mental illnesses, but more that, you know, they might be a little more ripe for that anyway.
Well, yeah, Ray Lewis has talked about that numerous times, that there, and even Hugh Douglas, and his stints in sitting in with ESPN First Take, has mentioned that, defensive cats are just a little crazier than you're supposed to be. There's a place that they go to, you know. I mean, some of them, it's a dark, for some people, it's a very dark place that they go to, and they become, you know, basically almost a full-blown killer to do what they need to do on Sundays, to not have disregard for their body, to stick, you know, run up and run into a dude and put him on the ground.
Yeah,
you know.
Chris Carter was on Mike and Mike this morning on ESPN Radio. You listen to that?
Yeah.
He touched on the exact same things you were just saying. Even when he was in grade school, he could walk down the halls and he could tell just by looking at a kid whether he would be a successful football player or not. Oh, that it's just about your mentality. Right. Oh, that kid doesn't have it. Mm-hmm. That kid can go lay someone out right now if he wanted to. You can tell with these people.
Yeah.
I do think that the more they can research it, the more brains that are donated, the more helpful it'll be in figuring out what exactly it is, or if there is anything, or to the extent of which the concussions or, you know, anything else plays in the roles. Because this is far from the first NFL player to do this.
Right.
And even those who didn't commit suicide, there are plenty who have taken part in what, like you said, Kasimu, erratic behavior and violent behavior and depression. And, you know, I'm sure some of that has to do with being in the league for so long and then, you know, not having any of that anymore. None of that rush, none of the stardom, none of the praise.
Right.
But I think there is a stability factor outside of that that needs to be looked at. And I think, I do take stock in the role that concussions play in that.
What I will say, though, it has to be looked at, definitely. You know, we need to take every step to make sure that, you know, we prevent it as much as we can. But as Netzel always says, this is football.
I was just about to bring that up, Roach.
It's football. They all know.
It's football. When you sign your name on that paper, when you start in Pee Wee, high school, college, this is what you sign up for.
They all know.
This is a part of the life. This is why you get paid a lot of money too. It's pitfalls, and you know, and there's good and there's bad.
Saw something on ESPN the other day. There was I don't remember who now, but there was a player who said, "Yeah, I know that I'll probably have, you know, issues down the line, but I don't care."
Urlacher said it earlier, at the end of the season. He said he would lie to team of doctors about a concussion if it meant it would keep him from going back into the game. Yeah. That's, I mean, I was going to bring that up a couple seconds ago. Do we think that the NFL can honestly succeed at the level that it's succeeding at now? Can it be as successful as a business as it is now if all these safety rules continue to change? If this game goes away from the hard knock sport that it truly is?
No, because people aren't going to watch it.
Exactly.
And you have to...
There's a reason it's the number one sport in America.
They have to come out front and put in as much safeguards as they can, but they can't take away from the game. And then you have to sit there and do what everybody has done and has said. And all of us have made the decision. And I mean, well, Claire, because you couldn't play football, but even if you had the chance to, but it's a choice. You know what you're signing up for. It's just like Roach said. You know when you put on the pads what you're signing up for, and what they just have to teach is technique, because that's where a lot of your worst hits happen, because cats aren't using the techniques that they've been taught. They're just trying to blow somebody up.
Well, right. OC, from the Giants, how somebody say his name for
OC
me?
OC Umanura.
Yeah. He tweeted, it's an awesome game and it has done a lot for me, but I know when I'm 45, there's a great chance that I could be in the wheelchair. So players know this already.
Yeah.
It's the career path they choose, just like anybody else's career path. How many miners get stuck in mines every year? How many times do mines collapse on people when they're down there working? Mm-hmm. How often do we hear about safety reforms going down in mines? Not very often. I understand it's completely different because mining obviously isn't on the front page as the NFL is. But yeah, it's exactly the same point. These people know they need to make money. They need to make a living somehow.
Right.
With the dangers that come along with playing football, everybody in the league knows. Sure. They know what the dangers are. And it's honestly a little hip. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with the lawsuits that are put against the NFL for all these safety regulations and all the lack of knowledge when it comes to concussions, but you are kind of a hypocrite when you sue the NFL for having multiple concussions. You knew what you were getting into.
Right, and they didn't know. If you don't, like you just said, if Brian Urlacher and others don't tell you, hey, I'm effed up, my head hurts, how am I going to know? If I'm a team doctor, I can't do my job if I don't know you're hurt.
It's the brain. The brain. How much do we honestly know about the brain?
Not enough to say
anything 100% definitively.
Dude, think about it 10 years ago, what we knew and what we know now.
I agree with you 100%. I still think that the research needs to be done in order to put it all out on the table and say this, and this can happen to you, and then you know that no one can come to you and say, well, I didn't know that this was going to happen to me.
I completely agree with you. The research needs to be done, but the rules in the NFL can't get changed. They cannot. Yeah. There cannot be a dramatic shift in how this game is played, because if so, they're going to lose billions of dollars.
Do you know that's the eighth player? Gino says the eighth player to die from that 1994 Chargers Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. That's just
a little eerie.
Yeah, that's you know.
They made a deal with the devil.
Well, no, stop, no. Don't say nothing like that.
Even if they did, I'd make that deal.
Yeah, Can I go to the championship? Yes. Sign me up. Blood, what do you want?
I can play in the NFL. All right, Satan, here you go. Here's my signature. Yeah. Here's my soul. You got it.
Prick me, baby.
Yeah, rest in peace to Junior Seau, and I hope that things can come from this. You know, hopefully there's a study. Hopefully we can prevent more concussions, but I'm with Netsu. Football is football, and as long as it's hard hitting, it's going to be injuries and it's going to be concussions. That's just the bottom line. And you're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Give us a call, 312-564-7375. You can also hit us up, Facebook.com/MayhemSportsTalk and Twitter at Mayhem_Sports. Our poll question was, which injury was more devastating, Derrick Rose or Jake Cutler? Most people answer Derrick Rose. I agree with the Derrick Rose thing. I can't deny it. But Jake Cutler was devastating as well, too, for us as well. We're on every Tuesday from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. I'm Zachary Roach, along with Cosimo Godfrey, Mike Nesso, Claire Plant, and our super-duper producer, Aaron Van Walde. Until next Tuesday, we are done. All right.
You're listening to Mayhem on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.